For more media content from Grace Community Church in San Antonio, Texas, go to gccsatx.com.
Well, you probably come to the house of God this morning and probably thinking, well, I don't know if you're thinking this, but probably thought, man, I'm glad to get with the brethren, come in and hear the Word of God, and get away from this Michael Jackson media frenzy. And I don't want to disappoint you, but I've entitled my message this morning, Why Michael Jackson's Life and Death Matter. They do. And I never thought I'd find myself standing in a pulpit talking about Michael Jackson, but here I am. You know, I thought about Jesus. He made reference to current events and real life happenings in his day when he was teaching, and you know, the Tower of Siloam was one of them. And so I feel like, you know, I've got biblical precedent for using a current event to teach and affirm some spiritual truths, and hopefully that's what happens. I'll be completely honest with you, though. I was very apprehensive in doing this, but I got to Friday. The Lord was just giving me nothing. I couldn't get Michael Jackson's death out of my mind. I'm like, Lord, what is the deal with this? Saturday morning, I'm like, is this what you want? So here we are. Like it or not, like him or not, he was an American icon. And oddly enough, it's, as you know, it's hard to tell whether his fame was greater in his prime and his stardom and his peak of his singing career, or greater due to the bizarre, twisted lifestyle in his latter years. And granted, the peak of his stardom occurred in my teenage years, and some of you here weren't even born then. And yet, nowhere in America do you drop the name Michael Jackson and somebody not know who he is. I mean, for the world, for that matter. Even in third world countries, due to the media and technology today, people you wouldn't think. Most of the world knows who the man is. He's probably the biggest celebrity, most popular celebrity to die since Elvis. And even more so than Elvis, the extreme between what people loved about him and what people despised about him is probably unparalleled. And my intention in the morning is not so much to elevate this man, talk about Michael Jackson, just for the sake of it, but to draw from his life some spiritual lessons, some very important ones. And there are many. Now, it'd be easy for me to sit here and pile on like preachers do homosexuality and, you know, get on the big bashing bandwagon and thereby make, you know, ourselves look all spiritual and holy. And that's not my intention. I'm not going to be speaking as one who is a hater of Michael Jackson, but desiring us to profit spiritually from his death. That may sound kind of strange, but I think that's what death ought to do to people. That's the impact it ought to have. I remember, I was 14 years old. I remember like it was last week. There was in the house, in the hallway. It was Friday night, running down the hallway. Friday Night Videos was on. And a lot of you probably don't even know what that is. But that was the big rage before MTV. In fact, it put MTV on the map. And here it was. Michael Jackson was going to debut his Billie Jean music video. And it was incredible. I mean, he had moves no one had ever seen. He danced with command and authority, and it just simply amazed you. I was affected by it. I was hooked. In fact, I was impacted so much by it, it wasn't long I was asking my mother for dance lessons. I was. And it was right at that time the breakdancing craze started. You know, I had wicked ulterior motives. I figured, you know, girls like to dance. If I can dance like Michael Jackson, I can dance with them. And if I can dance with them, well, you know the rest of the story. And, well, I got the lessons. And better yet, I had a friend in high school. He was into rapping. I never got into that, but he was into breakdancing. So we hung out together. We went to dance clubs. We had a great time, but he didn't stop there. Unfortunately, the time I ended up spending with him took me on a very, very bad path quickly. Thankfully, in the merciful providence of God, this young guy, he dropped out of high school after about a year of hanging out with him. And that incident caused me to reflect and look and say, whoa, wait a minute. I don't want to go that direction. I don't want to end up like this guy. So I cut my ties with him. And had I not, who knows? I might not even be here today. But all that was a result of this man who could dazzle you with his feet and had a tremendous voice. There was a power there. There was. There was a power behind it. It wasn't from God. And I thought about just the powers of our iconic culture. I mean, they're there. And they're great. And we hail people and we exalt them and put them on a pedestal they just ought not be on. Robbing glory from Jesus Christ. You know, I opened up the paper Saturday. Actually, it was Friday's paper. There's the headline splashed. 70s, cancer claims 70s icon, talking about Farrah Fawcett. Right underneath a big, giant photo of Michael Jackson, king of pop, cancer, or heart attack claims him. I thought, you know what this should say? It should say, Farrah lost. Michael lost. They lost it all. They lived as fools, living as though they weren't ever going to die. Really. Living as though there really was no God. There really wasn't an almighty to give an account to. That they'd somehow escape it all. Somehow they're going to avoid it. No matter how iconic their respective decades were, no matter how great they seemed to be, they've vanished off the scene now. And yet, the amazing thing is, look at everybody, still paying tribute to them as though there's something really honorable about them to pay tribute to. Now, I was thinking about just our culture in general. American Idol. I mean, American Idol, just think about that. Doesn't that program tell the story about our culture? What we esteem so high and so great. You don't even have to watch the program. And it's in your face. I mean, I don't know how many times I've checked my email over the last 2 or 3 years, my Yahoo email, and it's the featured story in the top. I'm not talking about entertainment in that top stories tab. It is the featured story. Something about American Idol. Who knows what it is. And before long, you turn on the Christian radio station in the morning. That's all they're talking about, the Christians. What is this thing? You turn it on? Just a bunch of people starving for attention and full of vainglory. That's all it is. Everybody's taken up with it. Well, I opened up with Proverbs 16:4. Because just as Pharaoh, God raised up Pharaoh for a specific purpose, to show forth his power, he did. I believe God allowed Michael Jackson to live and to attain and to achieve all he did and end up where he ended for a reason. And although, you know, the same could really be said for everybody. That's true. But very, very few have provoked such a shaping influence upon culture, upon the world, upon an industry, and made such waves that have just extended the globe as Michael Jackson. And by means of such a large scale of influence, God, amazingly, has used Mr. Jackson to confirm to the world some very important realities. And really, that's a great mercy. I got a number of reasons here why Michael Jackson's life and death matter. The first one, it teaches us the dangerous power of idolatry. There's a reason why John, I preached on this a few months ago, or why John writes and says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Because there's a great danger in them. A great danger, even to the people of God. God promises he's going to strip all our idols from us. That's going to be a process. Watch out. They ain't coming down easy. You have a responsibility in the matter. The psalmist says in Psalm 106:36, they served their idols, speaking of Israel, they served their idols, which became a snare to them. That's what idols do. They're a snare. There's a power behind idols, iconic icons that it's demonic. It's demonic. There's a demonic power behind it all. That which the world holds in such high esteem, the irony of it, it's a snare to them. It is. It's a snare. And you see idolatry mentioned, when you see it mentioned in the scripture, it's often mentioned with sexual immorality, sorcery, witchcraft. There's a dark craftsmanship behind it all, behind all this stuff. Seeking one thing to get at your heart, to consume you, to grab hold of you. Ezekiel 20:16 says, because they, speaking of Israel, rejected my rule. This is God speaking. They rejected my rules and did not walk in my statutes and profaned my Sabbaths. Well, why did they do it, Lord? Why would they do that? because their heart went after their idols. Idols had a hold of them. When idols have a hold of you, you can't pursue God. You can't. Hosea 8:4. This is the Lord speaking again. They made kings, but not through me. They set up princes, but I knew it not. With their silver and gold, they made idols for their own destruction. And that's what idols do. They destroy. I mean, doesn't that speak of the Michael Jacksons and Elvis Presleys of life? Self-proclaimed kings. And gladly affirmed so by the public at large. Kings. King of pop. You know, what's behind it all? I'll tell you what's behind it all. It's a plot. It's a scheme to draw people away from Jesus Christ and get them so entangled with just foolishness, so entangled with perishing mirages of glory, glory of men. That's all it is. And it works. And I was right there in it, right in the midst of it, not having a clue what was happening to me. I mean, the drawing card was real nice and attractive. It had a lot of charms and promises, but there was something happening behind the scenes I was blind to at the time. When I look back at where I started and where this ended up taking me, and you just see the fingerprints of foul play, of darkness behind it. The kingdom of darkness had laid a snare for me, attempting to destroy my soul. And praise Jehovah Jireh, He provided a way out of escape. The Lord had mercy on me. And it all began with idolatry. It really did. I'm not going to tell you what it all led to, but it much worse. And young people here today, let me ask you, where's your heart this morning? Not even young people, all of us. Where's our heart? What holds sway over you? What may be taking you away from God? That's what idols do. They take you away from God. Oh, you know, most likely it's not Michael Jackson. Maybe not even be a person. But whatever it is, run from it. It's out to destroy you. It is. It is out to destroy you. You say, the things I love are not out to destroy me. Come on, give me a break. That's what Michael thought one day. He did. He had a thirst and a quest to pursue a life of dance and music. That didn't seem so bad, does it? Problem was, God wasn't in any of it. And it became, that idol of his life became the means of his own destruction. You know, maybe you say, well, you're just paranoid. You're just looking to find something demonic and evil and everything. That's exactly what your master wants you to think. This is harmless. That's just a bunch of religious kooks who want to spoil your fun. I'm not paranoid. I'm not on a witch hunt. I'm not trying to find a demon under every rock. The reality is, I've lived in both kingdoms. I know now what I didn't know then. And I know this, that we are creatures of influence. We are. We impact those around us. Those around us impact us. I remember Pat Horner would often say this, we're not an island to ourselves. We're not. What he means by that, what you do, it affects other people. And the reverse is also true. That's one of the reasons why Paul says renew our minds. We need to have our minds refreshed and renewed daily, because the tendency is we're going to crumble and we're going to be infected by the perishing world around us. It's going to have an impact on our mind. We need to have our minds filtered with the Word of God daily. So be careful, Christian, what you subject yourself to, what you involve yourself in, what seeks to take hold of you and pull you off course. Secondly, Michael Jackson's life and death matter because it highlights the reality of 1 Peter 1:24 and 25. All flesh is like grass, the Scripture says, and all its glory is like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Man at his absolute best is a dying flower. A fading, perishing plant. That's kind of humbling, isn't it? I'm glad when celebrities' deaths are made much of, because really they unwittingly expose the very end of what they hold out to everybody as the pinnacle of life, do they not? I mean, the world paints Hollywood as some great achievement in life, the greatest success and fame and achievement that this world offers. You made it there, you've made it to the top. You've achieved it all. And yet, look at Hollywood's obituaries. Look at the tabloids. Look at the end of those who America regards as their darlings. It's pitiful. Nearly every one of them are cheaters, liars, adulterers, drug addicts, divorced, strung out with makeup and plastic smiling faces. Yet when you wipe all the makeup off, behind it is a life that is lonely, empty, troubled, unsatisfied, miserable people looking to fill a void. And it's a sad scene. The world is broken and filled with broken people. And you know what? You can slap all the makeup and all the plastic and all the self-enhancement you want on an individual. In the end of the day, what you have is a broken person. A decaying, rotting structure with a fresh coat of paint on it. Outside of Jesus Christ. Satan has blinded the minds of people to think the opposite of what God thinks. He paints sins to look real pretty, real promising. But you know what? When the paint wears off, you know what you got? A rusty, decaying, perishing lie. All of Michael Jackson's glory and awe. All that he did on the camera and on the stage, while at the time it appeared to be glamorous. At the moment it was. But like the grass, it's faded away as nothing. Like the chaff, the wind of God's judgment has it now. And guess what? He's blowing it into outer darkness. He's done. It's over. That's where all men's glory is going, in outer darkness. But the Word of God, what's the Scripture say about the Word of God? It stands forever. It's not like the grass. It doesn't change with the passing of time. It stands true. It abides forever. And His Word says in Psalm 18:30, this God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. And Michael Jackson's life, as it unfolded before our eyes, underscored this word in Proverbs 13:13, did it not? Whoever despises the word brings destruction on himself. Third reason why Michael Jackson's life and death matter, in short, is it was an example of a wasted life. All of that talent, all of the God-given abilities, wasted on flesh, wasted on the perishing, none of it used for the glory of God, none of it used for the exaltation of His Creator, all of it, and none of it for His ultimate good. Wasted. Completely wasted. He had the resources that could have been used. Imagine the resources he had that could have been used for the kingdom of God. Incredible. And yet instead, it was used up to stuff now that amounts to nothing. If we're Christians here this morning, we have a stewardship from God. The things God's given us, we're accountable for. What are we doing with it? How are we handling it? Are we faithful stewards with what God's given us? Are we wasting our lives? I mean, these are questions that death should provoke, I think. I'm coming to that day. It's going to happen. My heart attack's coming. My appointment with a doctor and says, you got cancer, you got 3 months, it's coming. Or an arrow in my back or whatever, a machete to the head, it's coming. And people don't want to talk about it and think about it. I do. I want it on the forefront of my mind every day. I need it. Number four, it reinforces that sobering reality of 1 Timothy 6:7. Turn there because we got another one in 1 Timothy 6 that we're going to look at. It's related to it. But 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7. Let me turn to that. It says, for we brought nothing into the world, And we cannot take anything out of the world. There he is. Right now, stripped of it all. All of his fame, all of his money, all of his power, all of his accomplishments, all of his records, all of his desires to look a certain way, and to attain a certain life, all of it's gone. Every bit of it. Now all that stands before the one who judges the quick and the dead is a massive mountain of sin debt. That's it. That's what it boils down to. God's not impressed with his moonwalk as men were. I mean, I was. It was kind of like watching Barry Sanders with the football or Ali in the ring. It was, you know, it was something exciting about it. You didn't really know what they were going to do. You just knew it was going to be exciting. But such is the ways of men. God doesn't think that way. He's looking at a completely different walk. He's looking at the walk of how he relates to Jesus Christ, and it's the same for you and I. It's going to be the same thing for you and I. We come and stand before, how did our lives, how did our daily lives relate to Jesus Christ? That's what matters. What do we do with our time and our talent and our treasures? Don't get me wrong, Michael Jackson, he did have a level of compassion toward his fellow creatures. He did. He gave charitable causes. In fact, I think I heard it say he's in the Guinness Book of Records for the celebrity with the most given to the most charitable causes. 30-something, something like that. But the problem was, it was never for the glory of Jesus Christ. It was always for the glory of himself. It was for his own name. It's for his cause, for puffing up Michael. What about you? Why do you give? I mean, really, there's nothing spiritual about sending money to the other side of the world for orphans in and of itself. In and of itself, there's not. Lost people do it all the time. Celebrities do it all the time. Bill Gates does it. What's the motive? What is the motive? Is it a tax break? Is it you can tell people you give such and such amount of money? Is it to impress the deacons and they might think you're spiritual? I certainly hope that's not the case. But that'd be really no different than Michael Jackson standing up here, standing up and giving a press conference. Okay, I'm going to give to this children's foundation such and such money, this lump of sum money. Do you know what? Jesus did talk a lot about money. He did. And it does play a big role in our lives. And you can have bad motives forgiven. You can have false motives forgiven, but you know what? What you spend your money on, it does say something about you. It does. It does reveal something about you. I mean, it tells us a lot about our faith. It tells us about a lot about what's our priorities, what's important to us, what we value, what we treasure. I remember MacArthur, in a message a long time ago, he'd say, he shared that when he sat down in a counseling session with members of his church, the first thing he'd ask for is their checkbook. He was going to get a pulse on where their heart was. He was going to look through the registry and, okay, let's see what you're spending money on. Imagine that. You're struggling with pride or, you know, got some other issues in your life. You're going to counseling session. Can I see your checkbook? Okay. But I tell you what, it reveals some things. I was just told this week that I was getting a cut in pay. They slashed all the salary people 10%. I tell you what, it impacts you. You start assessing, find out what's valuable, what's important in your life. And I, in regards to that, I appreciate your prayers because I got to make some cuts in areas I don't know where. So please pray for me in that regard. Number five, the fifth reason why Michael Jackson's life and death matter is it teaches us that enormous wealth is poisonous to flesh. Really along the same line. 1 Timothy 6, 9 and 10. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plague people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many pangs. Wow. Money is a snare. Why? Because money is equivalent to power in this life. And that's really what man thirsts for, power. He wants to be God. He wants to be king. Jackson regarded himself as king. And you know what? He had his reward. He did. Now he's gone from king to the prisoner of darkness, just like that. Not that he wasn't before, but had his own prison of sorts. But he's singing a completely different tune now, a woeful one. Money's not doing him any good now. Absolutely valueless in the eternal realm. That's what's so poisonous about money. You know, when he was here, he just wanted more and more and more and more. It doesn't matter how much money you got. I don't care who you are. You want more. It's never enough to the one whose heart is set on it. It's not. And you end up being its slave. Even multimillionaires. I mean, what was it? Despite all his millions, what was it came out in the news? He was in debt, what, $400 million? How is that even possible? I mean, after all the money he received from music and royalties and millions of dollars, he's in debt $400 million. How does that happen? It's the snare of money. It produces, as the text says, many senseless and harmful desires, Paul tells us. And sometimes very expensive and bizarre ones. Look at verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith. That's scary to me. Wandered away from the faith because of money. And that's why I cringe when I hear people, brethren, making decisions on where they're going to live their lives based on a job or based on money, really. That's not to say necessarily that it's always wrong in all cases, but if you're chasing the dollar and you're planning your lives around the dollar and not God's kingdom first, you're out of God's will. That's not God's will. It's not His revealed will. Scriptures teach us that we must put Christ in His kingdom first. We have to. And when we do, God will provide everything for us that we need. Chasing the dollar around first, and then saying, let's find the best spiritual nourishment we can for ourselves right here where I found my dollar. That's got it backwards. And I think how many of God's people are depriving themselves of many blessings because of this very thing? Sixth reason why Michael Jackson's life and death matters, it confirms the biblical truth that fallen man is given to self-destruction. Romans 3:16, destruction and misery, talking about the sinner, destruction and misery are in their ways. We all know the proverb. There's a way that seems right to a man. Certain it's right. Well, what's at the end of it? It's death. It's a way of death, way of destruction. I mean, you think about it, Michael Jackson's life just screams those truths, does it not? I mean, here's a normal boy. He's got many talents. A very likable kid. He seemed to have a level head about him. And as time brought fame and fame brought money, his life began to get stranger and darker and more wicked and more twisted. As Job said, man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. That's a description of him. In the end, his legacy is just mainly marred by his own perversions and addictions that he did in secret more than what he did on the stage. And sin laid so heavily upon him, he's hardly recognized. We were talking about the hospital last night. He was hardly recognizable at the end of his life. And when you saw him in the beginning, you wouldn't even know it's the same guy. That's what sin does. It destroys. A man desperate for satisfaction and seeking to find it in himself. And brethren, that's an avenue for anyone that's going to lead to misery. Seeking to find satisfaction in self. Self-fulfillment is an absolute huge lie from hell. Because self can never fill the void that sin has separated us from God from. Sin leaves us separated from God, therefore leaving a void that self isn't going to fill for sure. And yet mankind is ever seeking to defy that truth. Always pumping self. Always pushing self. Always seeking to fill self. It's destruction. Destruction is what sin does to man. It completely ruins him. I mean, why are the tabloids filled with cheating and lying and scandal and strung out people? Because the very thing that was supposed to bring them happiness didn't work. And so they're driven to deeper and deeper darkness to try to find it. I found this online. According to a recent scientific study, celebrities tend to die prematurely at a rate 2 times higher than the general population because they're so prone to adopting self-destructive ways. They bought the lie. And now they're in so deep they can't get out. But it's not just celebrities. It's anyone outside of Jesus Christ. The reason why celebrities tend to die fat, it's more accelerated because they got the money and the power to bring more destruction quickly. That's really all that is. The seventh reason why Michael Jackson's life and death matter is it demonstrates that life, sort of similar point, but demonstrates that life is a vacuum outside of Jesus Christ. John opened up with John 1:4. In him was what? Life. And that life is the light of man. And it's really all, it's that simple. It really is. Jesus Christ is life, and there's no life outside of him. And when you try to find anything outside of him, you're not going to find life. You're going to find emptiness. You're going to find sorrow. You're going to find misery. And praise God this morning if you found him. Because it's glorious. It's real. It's true. It's satisfying. It's peaceful. You can rest knowing what you're living for. What your master is. Why you were created. Where true satisfaction is found. And for the Michael Jacksons and Rush Limbaughs and all these big name people, you see, they got the means to drown themselves in pills to try to fill the void. People that don't have that money, they use other means. It necessarily have to be drugs, can be entertainment and pleasure and careers and you name it, trying to fill the void. I think, you know, Tim had mentioned this a few months back, Tom Brady's comments on 60 Minutes. I never saw it. I was looking at it yesterday. I was thinking about this. And man, that reveals it all, doesn't it? Making millions of dollars. Winner of 3 Super Bowls. MVP of 3 Super Bowls. Dating a supermodel. I mean, in the flesh, in fallen flesh, can it even possibly get any better than that? And yet, Tom Brady says, I think there's still something greater out there. I mean, he was saying it all humility, not cocky, not prideful. I think there's something greater out there for me, he said. I mean, there's got to be more than this. Out of his own mouth. I mean, it says it all right there. I mean, you have to admire Brady. I mean, at least the guy's honest. I mean, he was dead serious. Completely clueless as to what the answer is. Wanting to know what the answer is. See, I kind of got some hope for the guy. I mean, he seriously wants to know what's the point of life. There's got to be something greater than all these achievements I have, all these things I own, all these things I possess, all these things I've experienced. They're empty. They don't have it. They don't have what they promised. And if he doesn't find Christ, I fear 20 years from now, he'll be on a tabloid, drunk, spilled over, looking like a pathetic, lost man. But that's a question everybody grapples with and seeks many avenues to answer. And when you have money to own or try just about anything under the sun, that unresolved question becomes a great agony, misery. I've got means to do everything. I got means to try this, that, and that, and it's still not bringing it. What's going on here? It's enough to drive a person crazy. That's exactly what happens. And so people turn to drugs, try to escape it, try to silence it, just get it away. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to think about, is this it? Is this all there is? Eighthly, reason why Michael Jackson's life and death matters. It reminds us that the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. And He does it when He sees fit. Not seeking permission. He claims you when He claims you and when He wants to. In light of Hebrews 3, 7 and 8, today, Scripture says, if you hear His voice and do not harden your hearts. In Hebrews 2, 3, how shall we escape, talking about the judgment of God, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? Today is the day of it. You got life, you got breath, today. Guess what? Michael Jackson didn't escape. He didn't escape it. Will you? The window of his opportunity is finally and forever over. Completely over. His hourglass is completely spent. So is my time. I'm just going to read the last 12 points I have. I've got 20, but I'm going to read the last 12. Number 9, reason why Michael Jackson's life and death matter. It reveals, and some of these overlap, of course, it reveals in vivid display the sad reality of man's depravity. Number 10, it reveals man as his greatest, at his greatest, and his worst, a wicked wretch in both cases. Number 11, it is a great reminder that it's been given unto men once to die, and then judgment. Number 12, it reveals the insanity of a life lived for one's own glory and not God's. Number 13, the greatest of icons are still sinners in need of a Savior. Number 14, it shows how gracious and giving God is toward sinners and how thankless, greedy, and self-consuming man is. Number 15, it teaches us the vanity of popularity. Number 16, it proves Satan's promises always fail. Number 17, it teaches us how damning are the bright lights and golden promises of this world. Number 18, it reveals how much stock people put into what's of such little or no value. And number 19, it reminds us of how short life really is. And lastly, number 20, because in the end, he's just another man, just like you, same disease, same creator, same need, and he's going to face the same judge. And the amazing thing is here this morning, brethren, the only difference between Michael Jackson and you is the grace of God.